for where Joseph left off last week. Acts 13:42. It's a good subject, controversial it can be. And that is, I've got the sovereignty of God in choosing people for salvation. When some people hear it, they get their back up for some reason. But it's a good thing. Because all those that are born again have been chosen by God to be born again. So praise the Lord. So let's just pray. And let's let the Lord minister to us tonight. Amen. Father in heaven, we come before you tonight, my God. I do thank you, my God, for who you are, my God. I thank you for sending your only begotten Son to die upon the cross for us at Calvary, Lord. And raise from the dead and give us eternal life, my God. And I pray tonight that as we go through your scripture, my God, I pray that the Holy Spirit minister to our hearts, my God. Lord, with the goal to make us love you more, my Lord, and to be more like you, my God. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So Acts 13:42. And it says, so when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that those words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles, for so the Lord has commanded us. I've set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and were glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. You know, just finishing off last week, it was Paul's sermon last week, Joseph had. The complete, only complete sermon we have of Paul preaching. And he preached so well, right? Not you, I'm talking about Paul. Right? And you weren't here last week. Right? Paul preached so well that they asked for him to preach the same message the following Sunday or Saturday or whatever. How good was that? Never had that happen to me. But there was some message what he preached. Now he's gone to the Jews. Look, what Paul was telling them about the sermon was justification by faith. Their faith in Jesus Christ. What a sermon. It's the best thing that someone could hear, isn't it? That we can be justified, that God will view us as if we've never sinned once we accept him. What better thing is there to hear? That when God looks at me, he don't see me in my rottenness. He sees me clothed in Jesus Christ. There's nothing better than that. And it gives me confidence. It makes me secure in the Lord. To know that when I shut my eyes in this world, I'm going to wake up to be with Jesus Christ in the next. But they begged him to come out and preach this word. It says, and when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Now, I don't know about you, right? Has anyone ever persuaded you to continue in the things of God? Have you ever felt like, I've had enough, I just can't go on anymore? Or maybe you know someone like that. Now, the church is roughly 15 years old, roughly at this point. And there's people feeling like that back then, that they needed persuading to carry on. We can't always be up on the mountaintop all the time. Sometimes we're going to be in the valley. And I've had people persuaded me to go on. I felt like giving up, thinking, Lord, what's the point? What's the point? Everyone else seems to be getting on. Everything seems to be going smooth for everyone else. But look where I'm at. Everything's going wrong for me. It can't get any worse. You ever heard it when someone says things can't get worse? And then someone says, well, it could be raining. And it starts raining. That's how my life's been sometimes. When someone said that, it's got even worse. But the Bible says that he's faithful, even when we're faithless. And thank him for it. Because if it depended on me and my faithfulness keeping me saved, I'd have fell long ago. And so would you. And listen, I thank the Lord for my brothers and sisters that have encouraged me to go on. And listen, look, when like Charles said about suffering in silence, like there's times I've been in a church where I've not wanted to be here. Just sat there and thought, well, just I'm here because I have to be here. And just thought, well, and then I see brothers and sisters sharing things, what the Lord's done for them, or how the Lord's built them up. And I've got encouraged. And just because what the Lord's done in someone else's life has encouraged me to go on more. You know, maybe you might need to share something with someone about what the Lord's done for you, how he's got you through this week. Because it might just be the one thing someone needs to hear to help them to go on for Jesus Christ. Because we all need it. No one's a super Christian in here. We all go through things. And as you get older, you go through a lot more things that seem to be worse when you get older. But thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for the faithful brothers and sisters. And he says, on the next Sabbath day, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. See, that's the effect of God's word. God's word made almost a whole city come out and hear it again. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, like Paul the Apostle, when you read through the book of Acts, he shares his testimony how he got saved. He showed Acts 9, it's how he gets saved. And then twice after, it's how he got saved. Shares his testimony there. Right? And we're to share our testimony. But the main focus when they preached the gospel was the word of God. Because the word of God changes lives. Because without faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You know, Peter said, we said, look, aren't you going to leave me, Peter? Jesus said to Peter, where can I go, Lord? He said, you have the words of eternal life. We've got to learn the Bible. We've got to learn what it says. We've got to learn how to preach the gospel. Use scripture in preaching the gospel. Because faith comes by hearing about Jesus Christ. Now, I'll turn to it now. I thought I'd read it down, but I never. Oh, no, I've read it down. Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the word of God does. See, when we witness to someone or tell someone about the Lord or sharing things with someone with the word of God, you know, on the outside, everyone can seem tough, can't they? They might make fun of you. You might think, well, I'm getting nowhere. But you know what the word of God does? It can get to them places that mean you can't. That's what the word of God does. It gets right to the heart of the matter. Me and you can't do that. We can't do that. It's the word of God does that. And that's why they hung upon it. I counted it myself. 34 times in the book of Acts, it says they preached the word of the Lord. They heard the word of the Lord. All the time through the book of Acts, the word of the Lord. We want God to move, it's the word of the Lord. Amen. We've got to be people of the word. I'm not saying we've got to be professors, theologians, but we can know a bit, can't we? We can know a bit. In fact, in Peter it says to Peter, it says, be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you. See, when someone comes to ask you with a question, it's your job to go and find it out if you don't know the answer. Because there's hope there. The hope might be, they might have the answer that I need. And the answer is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But we've got to learn it. You know, it's easy to get on the phone and ring someone, what's the answer to this question? Or go on an app and get the answer. But find out, get in the Word of God yourself. This is treasure. This is gold. This is richer than what man can make. And what it does is save souls. And if someone's come to you asking a question, find out. Say, look, I don't know the answer right now, but I will go and find it out for you. And make sure you find out. Because it could be that one thing that brings another soul to Jesus Christ. You know, it's a wise thing to save souls, isn't it? What a great thing that we could just have that one answer and it could get someone saved. But the Word of God, I was reading through the week about how the effect the Word of God has. There used to be, amongst English preachers, there used to be a man called George Whitfield. I think it's about the 1600s, 1700s, I think he was. And this man preached the gospel. That's why he was a gospel preacher. And he wasn't allowed to go into the cities. But he used to preach in the fields, and people used to come out the cities to hear this man preach the Word of God. The people at that time had nothing, but he had the thing that they needed. And he had Jesus, and he had the Word of God, and it was changing lives, and Jesus was saving souls. Thousands and thousands got saved. Same with that Charles Spurgeon. He preached. He used to have 3 or 4 sermons on a Sunday because people come to hear the Word of God. We've got to learn the Word of God. Ain't just for church. Ain't just for someone to get up here and preach. It's for our daily living, our daily lives. See, it ain't just about, we give an answer, but we don't study it for answers, because once we read and learn the Word of God, it draws us close to God, that when people talk to us about Him, He just pours forth from us. His Word becomes part of us, and it just pours out. You always can tell if someone spent time in their Word. Because the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what happens. And I can tell within 10 minutes in a conversation if someone's been spending time with God or not. Because it's just something that is the best thing we've got. Everyone talks about the best thing in their life, don't they? Before you were saved, you used to talk about yourselves. Because everyone loves themselves. It, probe me wrong, we'll take a big picture of this church, everyone in it, yes? When the picture gets developed, who's the first one you look for? Yourself. Everyone loves himself. Now look, everyone's going, yeah, definitely. Definitely. But everyone talks about their favourite subject, which is himself. But when we're born again, we talk about the things of Jesus Christ. You know, it's the best. I've been going through all day. I've had a blessed day. Prayer and fast, but I've been in my Word all day today. And it's been a blessed day. Just really, it's going over the basic things of my Christianity, how He saved me, how He went to the cross and suffered and died. And them sort of things, when I read them things, you need, not to jog your memory, but sometimes you need just to go back to them basic things and just remember what Jesus Christ has done. Because we can be so sidetracked with major things in Bible doctrine or in your walk with the Lord, we forget about the Lord. And just the simple things of the Christian life is what you need to hear. But listen, these were men of the Word. These were men of the Word. I think at the start of the book of Acts, when they started in Jerusalem, it says they started answering questions to these Pharisees and that. And they turned around the Pharisees and said, These have spent time with Jesus. These have spent time with Jesus. You spend time with Jesus, listen, they can come against you, but what God's Word don't go void, the Bible says. It goes out and does what it's meant to do. Listen, I can't rely upon myself. I can't rely upon myself to get someone saved. It's on Jesus Christ. But it says they come against them, right? It says, verse 45, but the Jews saw, and the multitudes were filled with envy and contradicting, blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken of by Paul. Now, when I was talking to Billy before the meeting, and when you're a Christian, you will get persecution. When you tell people about Jesus, people will persecute you. You know, we've got to give a defence of the gospel. we're called to give a defence. In 2 Timothy 15 it says, study to show yourself, I'll use the King James, old King James, it says it better. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We got to be ready to give a defence of the things of God. Right? God's give us his word, we got to learn it, and we got to give a defence. You know, imagine if you was in a boxing ring, you never had your arms up to defend yourself. You'd get knocked all over the place, wouldn't you? It's only the same with this. If we don't know this and people are coming up against you, blaspheming and saying all things against the Lord, well, you ain't got no punches to throw back. You know, I heard a testimony once. Walt Martin, he's a Christian theologian. He witnessed to Rocky Marciano. He witnessed to him. And he said he's witnessing to him. And he said, I've always noticed, he says, you've got such big arms. He says, and most of your fights you're covered up. He said, why is that? He says to him, hold your arm out. He said, hold it out. My arm touched his chin. He held his arm out and he come up there. He said, come up to just past my elbow, he said. He said, I can't jab a man. He said, I can't. He says, someone with a jab would keep me at bay. He says, but I know if I took the punishment on my arms, all I needed was one shot to get in close and I'd knock him out of either arm. And he went, that's the point. He said, we only need one shot with the gospel, with the word of God. We've got to take the punishment, be willing to suffer the persecution. For when that time comes, we've got to be able to knock someone straight on the chin with the gospel and get them saved. We've got to be willing to give a defence. Listen, it ain't easy. It takes work. You've got to be in your word day by day. You've got to study the word of God to be able to give a defence of it. And it ain't easy, but it's rewarding. It's rewarding. And listen, we've all got to do it. It ain't just for two or three, four or five people. Every one of us has got to study our word and learn it. But they gave a defence. Paul gave a defence. But listen, at the start of chapter here, chapter 13, there was opposition. Simon bar Jesus opposed the gospel. Here at the end of the chapter, there's opposition to the gospel. It's the most best thing ever, the most loveliest thing in the world, the gospel of Jesus Christ, yet the world oppose it. It just don't make sense, does it? Something so great that the world opposes it. Seeing what people do. And when someone loses an argument, they resort to name calling, blaspheming, and saying all things about you. When people get to that state, they've lost the argument. Because if you ever had it said to you, I've talked to people, I've witnessed to people, debated people, right? And you start talking to them, and in the end, you tie them in knots, and then they make fun of you. Normally about my appearance, but they make fun of you. But I just go, well, listen, what's that got to do with anything? Because they've lost the argument. See, because this is the word of God, non-contradictory, inspired by God, written down by men, inspired by the Holy Spirit, what to write. That I've heard it said that the Bible's the old anvil. Many hammers have come and hit against the old anvil. The hammers have worn away, but the anvil still stands. The word of God's forever. Listen, I ain't got no problem in witnessing to someone using that. Because it ain't based on my faulty arguments. It's based on the perfect word of Jesus Christ. And that's what we got. You know, it's the best. It's the thing that we got as a weapon. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We can win people by arguments. But someone will come and win them out by an argument. But when they've been touched by Jesus Christ through the art of the gospel, no one can win them out of it. Because it's God's work. You know, it says in 46, then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Behold, we turn to the Gentiles, for the Lord has commanded us, I've set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be salvation to the ends of the earth. You know, basically, he said, you've had your chance. You know, wherever Paul preached, it was to the Jew first, then the Greek. Romans says that the gospel was to the Jew first. So wherever he went, he went and preached the gospel to them. But once they started blaspheming and opposed him, calling him all names or whatever, he's gone, well, listen, you've had your chance. You're unworthy of everlasting life. Now, it seems harsh, because I can't imagine walking about, you know, knocking on someone's trailer door, and then they have a go at me, and I go, you're unworthy of everlasting life. The truth is, we're all unworthy of everlasting life, aren't we? Yeah. We're all unworthy of it. But the thing was, the Jews had to reject him so that we could be grafted in and get saved. That was the point. Paul's gone to them. The old city's come out to hear it. Now, the old city's there. He's here with Barnabas. The Jewish rulers and that are here. And Paul's gathered to them. In the end, they've resulted in calling him all names. And that's his testimony to the city. You've heard what they've had to say. They've got nothing. And people get saved through it. Because what happened to the Gentiles that were listening? Verse 48. It says, when they heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. They glorified the word of the Lord. What they heard out of this, out of the Old Testament scriptures, what Paul preached, they glorified it. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. People got saved. Learn it. Learn about, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Learn about all the sin that falls short of the glory of God. God demonstrates his love towards us, that while we get sinners, Christ died for us. Use it. Faith comes by hearing that. The Holy Spirit come and penetrate the heart of someone and they can get saved. Nothing comes close. Can't rely on our own arguments. Rely upon Jesus Christ and his Spirit. But listen, they've glorified the Lord and got saved. And then it says, and as many as been appointed to eternal life believed. Now, this is where people don't like. The word appointed, It means to be enrolled into eternal life, assigned, ordained to eternal life. See, the Bible teaches, verse 48, it says appointed to eternal life. You see, and that means, that word charis, I was looking at yesterday, last night, that word means, it carries the meaning of, that it was an event completed in the past that continues day by day. When was you chosen to be saved? Before the foundation of the world. See, it was a past, in God's mind, it was a past event. But those that got saved that day, it was fresh, wasn't it? It was fresh. You see, I'm claiming, I understand all about God's election and our God's sovereign. About man's free will and how God sovereignly works. I just believe what the Bible says. I know that the Bible says that God's sovereign, that he predestines those to salvation, according to his foreknowledge. But Jesus also said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. Everyone that's born again in this place, you're chosen by God. Amen. You're appointed for salvation. You know, it's an appointment they could have missed, could they? Everyone who was there, who had to get saved that day to hear the gospel, got saved. And every one of us, the day we heard the gospel and got saved, was our appointment to get saved. We was appointed that day for eternal life. Chosen by God. You know, and don't that encourage you? Build you up? I can put my hand up and go, yes, I'm appointed to eternal life. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. I didn't choose him. He chose me. He predestined me according to his foreknowledge. How good's that? You don't look excited about it. You look proper miserable. But listen, how good is it? Now listen, because of that doctrine there, I can, don't matter what type of day I've had, I can put my head in my head on my pillow at night and know, Lord, no matter what I'm going through, I know 100% certain that you've chosen me, that I'm yours and you are mine, that nothing can separate me from the love of you. Amen. That everything might come and go, but it's just me and you left, Lord. And that's what the doctrine is about. Ain't about can you lose your salvation or not. Who wants to lose it? Let's be fair, people argue about it, but no one on both sides wants to lose it, do they? No one wants to lose it. But it keeps me going for the Lord. And that's why I think, Lord, I don't know why you've chosen me. Because there's nothing good in me apart from you. But I love you so much for that opportunity just to hear the gospel. To give me eternal life. Lord, help me. Give me the strength to serve you more and more and more to my dying day. And that's eternal life about Jesus Christ. You know, Hebrews chapter 2. It calls him the captain of captivator. The captain of our salvation. The captain of our salvation. The word means originator. The ruler. He's the originator of our salvation. The author. The author and finisher of our faith. The originator of it. You know, we can't save ourselves. And thank God we can't. Because if it depended on that, I wouldn't be saved today. The first day I gave my life to the Lord, I'd have fell back in the world the same day. Because I can't live the life that's required to be a Christian. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit and Him keeping me, I can live the life, the power to be a Christian. You know, and listen, we can't grasp it. People think they do, don't they? They think they can grasp the doctrine of how God's chosen them. And how God, some ain't chosen. I don't know how it works, but one thing I do know. That God is fair and God is just. That's what I do know. And just because I don't understand something, don't mean it's true. Don't mean it's not true. It's just my understanding's faulty. See, but I go, Lord, I don't know the answer. But I know that you do. And when I get to glory, you're going to give me the answer. And so, listen, when people get in this debate about God's sovereignty and man's free will, I'll switch off. Because people get proper upset with you. Because to be fair, I can argue both sides of it. And when I do get involved, I can't help but torment. And it's not godly to torment. But it gets people wound up. That's probably why they get upset with me, tell the truth. So on them up. But what's the point? What's the point of having a doctrine that brings division? When we're meant to be one in Christ. Amen. Unified in Christ. Listen, thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for it. And because of it, verse 49, it says, the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. The gospel's continuing to go out. They've had opposition. Straight away from the first journey of Paul, there's been opposition. And the word of God's still going out, verse 49. It's still going, and it's still going today, isn't it? But we're looking forward to an outreach, praise the Lord, this year. The word of God's still going to go out. The book of Acts is not finished. It's being continued. We're the chapter of Saturn Valence. Let's get a full chapter, innit? Before our time's up. And in verse 50 it says, but the Jews stirred up devout and prominent women and chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So in the end, they've had to expel them from the city, literally throw them straight out. Because the gospel turns places upside down. Wherever the gospel's reached, whatever country, you know, Islam is spread. It's spread through violence and war. That's the only reason why they could take places. But Christianity is about the love of God sending his only begotten Son to die for the sins of the world. Now, it's risen that repentance and forgiveness of sins are available to all who believe. Right? And wherever that goes, the love of God goes, it turns nations upside down. It turns places upside down. And the world can't stick it. The devil can't stick it. And that's why they've got to literally throw them out. Because the word of God can't be stopped. When you read for history about the communists in the World War II and things like that, where there are countries where the belief in God's not allowed, there are still Christians going in, witnessing, getting the word of God straight through. We've got brothers in our mission in Muslim countries where they're not allowed to preach the gospel. and the gospel's getting out and people are getting saved. God's word don't go void. It does exactly what it's meant to do. That's why when we tell someone the gospel, well, all we're told to do is spread the seed of the word of God. Spread the seed of the gospel. The growing is God's problem. We rely upon him. You might have never led no one to the Lord in your life. Might have told 1,000 people. Well, good. Keep on telling thousands more people. You might not lead no one to the Lord. But as you know, later on down the line, that person don't get saved. And because of your obedience to God by spreading the gospel, that you've got a reward for that, there's salvation there. And what does it do when there's obedience? Listen, they shook the dust off from their feet. That was a Jewish thing. That was like an insult to a Jew. When you shook the dust off your feet to a Jewish home, that was an insult. That was, I don't know, it's like, I can't think of the way, how would travellers be insulted by that? Can't think of a way to put it. When they shook the dust off their feet, that means that you're ignorant, the one of your own. You're not even worthy of me stepping foot in your place. When we go witnessing, we do not shake the dust off our feet. Right? We don't go on sites and go, right, they ain't heard it. Get out. You ain't worthy of it. No. We go back and we go back and we go back. And we keep going back until they get saved. We keep going back till they get saved. Reason why Paul done this is because it was the Jew first, then the Greek. The Jews rejected the cross of Christ. Paul's mission was to the world, to the Gentiles. Because he was obedient, he says that he was filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And when we're obedient in spreading the gospel, doing the things that Lord wants us to do, what does it bring you? Joy. When you've witnessed to someone, how does it make you feel afterwards? Oh, yes, Lord, I've told one about you. Oh, Lord, get them saved. There's joy there. There's joy. It's a refreshing of the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you don't witness, which we all should, you're missing out. Because when we witness to someone, he's there by the power of his Spirit with us. And it brings joy. I don't know about you. Look, if I've witnessed to someone or just share something with someone, because I'm obedient to Jesus Christ, it brings such joy, a refreshing of God's Spirit. And that's open to all of us if we just be obedient. Let's pray.